read the whole chapter. So this is 1 Kings chapter 22. So if you have your Bibles with you or YouVersion on your phone or another app, I'd encourage you, you might want to open it up this morning. So this morning I'm going to talk about 1 Kings 22 and I'm going to talk about the prophet Micaiah. And here, as we read this, there are 3 years that have passed since war. There's been no war between Israel and Syria during these 3 years. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, is going to visit Ahab, who is the king of Israel. And Ahab wants to take the city of Ramoth in Gilead. We think that this is a city that had been promised to be returned to Israel, and it hadn't been returned. So if you look at 1 Kings 20, there's a battle there, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, is defeated, and he'd promised to return the cities that his father had taken from Ahab's father, and there's this treaty made. The city, we also believe, was in a strategically important location. So Ahab wants this city, and he turns to Jehoshaphat and says, "Will you join me in fighting for Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat says, "Yeah, you know, I'm with you all the way, but before you do anything, ask God for guidance." Do we ever stop to ask God for guidance? Do we involve him in our decisions and in the choices that we make? Now, whether or not you have Rice Krispies or cornflakes for breakfast, I'm sure that God still wants to bless you in either of those choices. Although I may add, it's good to eat healthily and look after our bodies. But regarding the serious matters of life, do we take a moment just to check and say, is this really the best course of action? Perhaps God has a better way, as he sees what we cannot see, and things may not always be as they appear to be. Some of the best advice someone once gave me on making big decisions was to take 2 to 3 sleeps before making a big choice. And sometimes we do just need to take some time to listen to what God is saying, and that's okay. When we're not sure which way to go, which choice to make, we can ask God and he will help us. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Sometimes we refer to God as our wonderful counselor. You might hear that in church, the wonderful counselor we can always call. So Ahab wants this city, and he wants Jehoshaphat to get on board. He wants Jehoshaphat to stay on board. So he gets all the prophets together, and of course in the Old Testament times, the prophet would deliver the word of God. And so these 400 prophets are gathered, and Ahab says, "Should I attack Ramoth-Gilead, or should I hold back?" "Go for it," they said. "God will hand it over to the king." And this is, of course, what Ahab wants to hear. Now, let's be clear here. Ahab is not seeking God's guidance. He's after the answer that he wants by getting the 400 prophets and deliberately not including Micaiah. If you like, it's a bit of a show to support the outcome that he wants. Are we seeking God's guidance, or are we seeking the answer that we want to hear? When we phone our friends or speak to friends about choices we may make, are we just chatting or giving attention to the ones that will give us the answers that are the ones that we want to hear? When it comes to relationships, the directions that we take in life, the choices that we make, sometimes, in fact, so many times over the years, I've seen people go with the answers from friends that they just want to hear, or just surround themselves with people that agree with them, or justify the route that they want to take when it is not what God has said. And Ahab wanted prophets. He would just go with whatever he wanted. And he just basically had a bunch of sycophants or yes men around him. And we can see this today in some leadership where there are yes men, people that will just say, yeah, go for it, do whatever you want to do. People who have boards or teams who will just say yes to everything they think and want, and everything that they say is what the leader wants to hear. And if there's someone who isn't going to do that, they don't get on their team, or they're not treated the same, and nobody dares disagree. And this is a very unhealthy, dangerous form of leadership. Sometimes we may look for or find ways to justify a route or justify something that we want, which we know may well not be the route that God wants us to take. So the NIV translation, verse 7, Jehoshaphat asks, is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? So this implies that Jehoshaphat could perhaps see that really these were just a bunch of sycophants or yes men, and that they were just lying. Now, we don't see Ahab saying, actually, yeah, there's Micaiah, let's call him in now, or yeah, apologies, he should have been included in the 400. Ahab says in verse 8, as a matter of fact, there is still one such man, but I hate him. He never preaches anything good to me, only doom, doom, doom. Now, perhaps actually that would have started to change if Ahab was truly repentant. But I think Ahab is kind of playing the situation here, isn't he? Perhaps he was hoping that he could just say this, you know, oh, well, he never preaches anything good. That Jehoshaphat would kind of be like, oh, okay, then, well, we'll go with the 400. But Jehoshaphat says the king shouldn't talk about a prophet like that. And at this point, then, Ahab orders one of his men to get Micaiah. After all, he does want Jehoshaphat's troops and horses, so he needs to keep him happy a bit. Verse 10, meanwhile, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat were seated on their thrones, dressed in their royal robes, resplendent in front of the Samaria city gates. All the prophets, this is the Message translation, by the way, all the prophets were staging a prophecy performance for their benefit. Zedekiah, son of Kenana, had even made a set of iron horns and, brandishing them, called out, God's word, with these horns you'll gore Aram until there's nothing left of him. All the prophets chimed in, yes, go for Ramoth Gilead, an easy victory, God's gift to the king. The messenger who went to get Micaiah said, the prophets have all said yes to the king, make it unanimous, vote yes. So they've got to ramp up the show a bit, perhaps ensure that Jehoshaphat is convinced that this must be what God is saying, so that they have his troops on their side. They want to keep Ahab happy, want to keep things good for themselves, these prophets, but it wasn't the truth. All the prophets were staging a prophecy performance for their benefit. These are the people that are meant to be speaking the truth, delivering the word of God. And sadly, today there are people who stage a prophecy performance for their own benefit, to get the outcome that they want for themselves. We see it on TV sometimes. If you give me $50, I'll give you this anointed hanky and it will heal you. The Lord has just told me. Sometimes the performance is not very convincing. Other times it may be orchestrated very well, and we can be fooled into thinking it's genuine. People, let's not be deceived. Now, it sounds, with the 400 prophets, like a pretty good show, doesn't it? It sounds pretty exciting. I bet there was a real buzz. It probably felt great. Yeah, well, Aaron's going to fall. What would you be thinking or feeling if you were witnessing that? You know, this is grand, magnificent. There's a set of horns representing the two kings and their honor and power with which the Syrians must be punished. This is a good reminder to us not to just go on the atmosphere or be pulled into something based on appearances or emotions, on how it feels. Also, with them being 400 people saying this, you probably may not want to question what they were doing, would you? Because there's 400 all in agreement. Matthew Henry says in his commentary on this chapter, Unity is not always the mark of a true church and a true ministry. Here were 400 men that prophesied with one mind and one mouth, and yet all in error. It's okay for us to use critical thinking and to pray, to evaluate, to weigh it up and ask God, what is the truth here? Do we want to be one of those people like those prophets, or do we want to be true, to be real, to say what God says? This is what Micaiah says, verse 14. As surely as God lives, what God says, I'll say. As surely as God lives, what God says, I'll say. The NIV puts it like this. As surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what the Lord tells me. This is what Micaiah does. In fact, in verse 17, he speaks, and then Ahab comments to Jehoshaphat and says, see, what did I tell you? He never has a good word for me from God, only doom. But Micaiah actually carries on, and in verse 19, I love this part, he says, I'm not done yet. Listen to God's word. And this is bold, because there are 400 people, 400 prophets, that have just unanimously said yes to the king. They are all in agreement together, and here is Micaiah on his own. You see, the prophets were happy to say what the king wanted to hear, to go along with the crowd. But we don't have to go along with the crowd, even if there's 400 of them or more. Micaiah says what God says. Micaiah fulfills his purpose despite any feelings of intimidation or fear that there may have been. You know, if we were there, whether it be the experience or the statistics, it's possible that we could think, well, there's 400 prophets that are saying this, and, you know, there's only one saying this, Micaiah saying this, so probably Micaiah is just a bit strange, you know? He's the only one like this. But it doesn't seem to matter to Micaiah what the others thought about him. He was loyal to God. Let's not be afraid to be the one that's different. Society today so often presents us with a message of just go for it, you know, do what feels good, things that can be the answers that maybe sometimes we want to hear. And we may be the only one that's saying something different. We may be the only one that's saying no. Sometimes we may be convinced by the voices around us, by the crowd, perhaps even by information that is presented to us in a very convincing way. But let's listen to God's voice, his guidance over anything else, as Micaiah did here. Micaiah is working for God. He says, I can tell him only what the Lord tells me. This is not about his agenda or anyone else's political or personal agenda. He is simply going to say what God says. Ahab would have been very intimidating, but Micaiah knew it was God that he was loyal to. Who or what are we actually serving? Where does our loyalty lie? Verse 24, just then Zedekiah, son of Kenaanah, came up and punched Micaiah in the nose, saying, since when did the Spirit of God leave me and take up with you? That part, it makes me laugh every time I read that part. I love it. I heard one of you laugh earlier. Zedekiah could have had a different attitude here, couldn't he? He could have taken some responsibility and said, actually, perhaps I got it wrong here. If we got it wrong, would we take responsibility for it? Would we have the humility to say, actually, I didn't get it right this time? But Zedekiah's behavior, it's just worse when he responds with this violence. He just goes and punches Micaiah. Micaiah takes a hit for speaking the truth in this situation. Micaiah said, verse 25, you'll know soon enough You'll know it when you're frantically and futilely looking for a place to hide. We don't see Micaiah backtracking and being like, oh, sorry. And we also don't see him punching Zedekiah back. We just see him sticking with the truth that God has spoken. And further on, verse 26, the king of Israel had heard enough. Get Micaiah out of here, he says. Turn him over to Ammon, the city magistrate, and to Joash, the king's son, with this message, king's orders, lock him up in jail. Keep him on bread and water until I'm back in one piece. Micaiah said, if you ever get back in one piece, I'm no prophet of God. When it happens, O people, remember where you heard it. Micaiah continues to speak the truth, to be loyal to God, despite the consequences for him. Now, there is a view that Ahab may have already imprisoned Micaiah, and that Micaiah is the prophet who's not named in 1 Kings 20 who confronts Ahab, and that actually Micaiah had already been in prison for these 3 years. If so, then how, you know, even more amazing it is that Micaiah is bold like this and he's not trying to get his way out of there or into the king's good books. He's just loyal to God. Micaiah hasn't lost his courage or ability to deliver the word of God. And I just want to encourage you this afternoon that if you've been in what feels like a dark place, don't lose your courage. Be encouraged that if you are listening, you can still hear from God despite what's going on. Matthew Henry says of Micaiah, he was bound, but the word of the Lord was not. That's based on the understanding that Micaiah had been in prison for the previous 3 years. And you might feel bound by your circumstances or situation, but the word of the Lord is not. Whichever the case with Micaiah, whether he'd been in prison or not already, he didn't have any great props. He didn't have the great horns that had been presented, but he had all that was needed, which was the word of God. And as a side note here, you know, I think it's interesting that Micaiah just says what God says and keeps it at that. We don't read a massive essay. And when we prophesy, it's good for us to remember just to keep it to what God says, that we don't need to add to it or unpack it for people. Just keep it to what God has said. So we can follow Jesus and see amazing victories in every situation and have lovely houses and cars and always prosper in every situation and get that promotion at work. That is, of course, prosperity theology. It's a little bit different for Micaiah, isn't it? But Micaiah fulfills his purpose as a prophet. He's not concerned with his reputation, with material things, with having an easy life. He just gets on with the task that God has given him to deliver. Would we be a people that get on with the tasks that God has given us and that demonstrate the same loyalty to God? Now, in verse 29, we read that Ahab and Jehoshaphat attack Ramoth-Gilead. So they do it anyway, despite what Micaiah said. The king of Israel says to Jehoshaphat, wear my kingly robe. I'm going into the battle disguised. So Ahab enters the battle in disguise. Now, do you think that perhaps Ahab was thinking, well, Micaiah said this, but if I just do it this way, I can avoid the bad consequences or the outcomes. If I just do it this way, if I just go about it this way, I can kind of get away with it. It'll be all right. Verse 32, when the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they said, there he is, the king of Israel, and took after him. Jehoshaphat yelled out, and the chariot commanders realized they had the wrong man. It wasn't the king of Israel after all. They let him go. verse 34, just then someone without aiming shot an arrow randomly into the crowd and hit the king of Israel in the chink of his armor. And so Ahab's now done for. Do you read this and think, Jehoshaphat, what were you thinking? Why on earth has he gone into battle with Ahab? Why did he not pay a little bit more attention to what Micaiah said? And how did he not know this was going to end in disaster? And it's the fact that he actually takes Ahab's kingly robe. You know, if this was a TV show, if you just imagine the battle, you know, and you're seeing Ahab saying, just, you know, you wear my kingly robe, and Jehoshaphat puts it on, you'd be yelling, you know, or I would be yelling, Jehoshaphat, what are you doing? Do you ever look back to some of your own choices and think, what was I thinking? Come on, there must be someone else. I know I do sometimes. And you think, how did I not realize that this was a bad idea? You know, I think that this is the grace of God, that Jehoshaphat joins Ahab in battle, actually puts on his kingly robe, yells out, and he's saved. Despite making quite a silly decision, what we might describe as a stupid mistake, God saves him. We can be a bit foolish sometimes and find ourselves in all kinds of situations. Some of them may be quite messy, but God can help us. God can save us. Maybe you've realized that you've made a mistake. Well, I want to encourage you this afternoon that God is ready to help you. Now, just going back to verse 19, to when Micaiah says that he's not done yet and he continues to speak the word of God. He does talk about this conversation between God and the angel, and he goes on to say that God filled the mouths of your puppet prophets with seductive lies, and God pronounced your doom. And basically, God wanted to bring judgment upon Ahab, and since Ahab wanted to be deceived, God just allowed him to hear that he could go take the city. Now, God relented from his original judgment against Ahab, announced in 1 Kings 21. But because of Ahab's false repentance and continued sin, a very similar judgment came upon him. And Ahab, you know, if you've been in church for very long, you'll know Ahab is one of the big baddies, married to Jezebel, who is a real baddie. And Ahab is described this way in 1 Kings 21, verse 25. Ahab, pushed by his wife Jezebel, and in open defiance of God, set an all-time record in making big business of evil. He indulged in outrageous obscenities in the world of idols, copying the Amorites, whom God had earlier kicked out of Israelite territory. But even Ahab had the opportunity to repent and change. But God deals with him because Ahab continues to do no evil and there was no sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. And I just wanted to leave you with one thought from all of this that was just particularly impressed upon me yesterday. And if we go back to verse 10, it talks about the meanwhile. So this is whilst Micaiah is being picked up or collected, and Jehoshaphat is there, and there's all these lies that are being presented by the 400 before he hears the truth spoken by Micaiah. And perhaps it was becoming more and more convincing as the show progressed, and when the horns come out and props are used and everything. But I want to encourage us that in a period of waiting, let's not be seduced by the lies that are around us or the many voices that may deliver the lies. Let's make sure that we are open to what God is saying, that we seek his voice above any other voice, above the crowd, above the noise of life. And sometimes it might take a little while until things become clear, but let's keep seeking his voice. Let's pray. God, help us to be a people who want the truth, to go with your guidance rather than just what we may want to hear at times. Help us to be loyal to you as Micaiah was. We thank you that you are with us, that you strengthen us. And Lord, we give you thanks for who you are and all you've done for us. Amen.